My name is Ariel. I moved to the US at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff. Grown Up
Stuff. As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
You know, I started to choke, and then at some point, I felt darkness coming, and I was sure I'm going to die. Couldn't breathe, and it was really, really painful. The most painful thing I've ever felt, fighting for air. And so one thought that I had in my mind was, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to let go.
Thanks for listening. This is U-Turns, the podcast where we talk about all those crazy directions that our life takes us in. And today we're going to be talking about the fearlessness that is necessary sometimes when you're taking those U-turns, because shift happens. I am Lisa Oz.
And I'm Jill Herzig. We are here today with such an awesome guest, Tal Gore. He's joining us from Israel. He is the author of The Art of Fully Living. And he made a list of 100 goals to complete in 10 years. And when you hear what's on it, you won't believe it. But let's just jump into that with Tal.
Can you just tell us how and why and what precipitated this 100 goal, 10 years, conquer the world thing?
Well, first, thanks for inviting me and thanks for doing what you're doing. It's great. So what made me tackle that list? I was 30 years old. I was in Australia at the time, and I had a conversation with two friends about what's next. What's next in life for all of us? And so the conversation went into a conversation about bucket lists and life goals and those kind of stuff. Before that, I didn't really do a lot of New Year's resolutions or life goals. I wasn't really that type of guy. But when the conversation came up, one of my friends said that he doesn't believe in setting bucket lists because his dad died when he was 40 years old. And when he said that, something kind of hit me and I asked myself, how would I live if I only had 10 years to live? Again, at the time I was 30. And then the answer was pretty immediate. Like, I wouldn't delay my dreams. I would bring everything sooner in that sense. So I went back home, made a list of 100 life goals, divided it to kind of 10 categories. And then I said, all right, I'm going to do that. I'm going to live like I only have 10 years to live.
And some of those goals, I mean, what I loved is that they ranged so widely and weirdly. Like, you know, you wanted to run a triathlon. That some people would put that on their bucket list. I would never, but some people would definitely do it. But it was also things like you also wanted to party like a madman for 60 days straight. You wanted to, you know, become completely financially free. You wanted to do volunteer work. You wanted to travel. You wanted to explore meditation in a really deep and committed way. I mean, some of these goals actually sounded like they came from two different people or maybe five different people's bucket lists. Is that just something about you that you would have such not similar kind of disparate goals?
Maybe. I just knew that I want to live fully. And for me, like, fully living is not just, let's say, focus on career. It's having a little bit more balance in all those areas of life. And also I didn't want to kind of blend it too much. So what I did, I said every year I'm going to focus on a different area. So there was the year of socializing, then the year of fitness, then the year of freedom, the year of contribution, and so forth. I was pretty flexible with the order, but I knew that every year I want to have a different focus.
And as you move from one to the next, my guess is that you're stronger in lots of ways, and that carries forward with you, right? So, like, you might get in triathlon, Ironman-type condition, but it's not like you go to pot after that year, right? You're still keeping really fit, and you're, like, am I getting that right?
Yeah, so a few habits stays. Sometimes you have to shift in certain ways, but a lot of things kind of sticked. I want to say something like here that, like, for example, the year of socializing and the year of fitness seems very far from each other. Like, in one year, I party a lot and socialize a lot, and the other one, I'm like, training a lot. But when you kind of look closely, you can see connection between every year. And another example is the year of fitness and the year of financial freedom. Like, it seems like unrelated, but throughout the year of fitness, I learned like really good habits. I learned how to sleep well. I learned about tracking, and that kind of transferred into the financial year, and it really, really helped me. So instead of, let's say, wake up at 5 a.m. for a workout, I woke up at 5 a.m. and worked on my business for the financial freedom. So you can translate, let's say, skills from one area to another. That's why I really believe in this whole idea of immersion and extracting more wisdom from one area versus like trying to change everything at once.
Hmm. I have a little bit of a pushback here, and I'm just curious. Most people, when they are 30, are, rather than embracing their life with the idea that it could all be over in 10 years, are laying the foundation for their future. So they're either in graduate school, or they're building a career, or they're sacrificing for their families so that there's a forward trajectory. If you weren't writing books, which obviously what you did lends itself perfectly to write a book, but what happens to, if you're doing a year of socializing and partying or a year of fitness, how does that help you now that you're 40? Because you haven't done all that future planning and that sacrifice that the average 30 to 40 year old was doing.
And that society kind of tells you to do.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, build up your credentials, pay your dues, and then you'll be good. You'll be set.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, the year of socializing really pushed, like, I advanced in my career so much during the year of socializing because I learned people skills very well, you know? So it was a surprise. I didn't really plan that. But because my English improved, at the time I was living in Australia, and also, again, my people skills improved, a lot of other areas benefited from it. So it didn't actually hurt my career, it helped my career. So a lot of time we have those beliefs or assumptions that if we focus on one area, then other areas will suffer. But in my case, that wasn't the case. Actually, I feel that I gained so much for the future. Now I'm above 40, like I'm 10 years past. But I feel very ready for the future, like in so many levels, just because I invested in myself. And that is something that I really believe in.
So does that mean that are you going to queue up another 100 goals for the next 10 years? Or do you feel like that was for this decade between 30 and 40, and now you're reaping all the benefits that you gained from that crazy experiment?
Well, I'm not going to set another 100 life goals. if there's one thing that I really learned from this journey is more of who I am in my essence. So I feel that now I can really focus more in, let's say one big project or a few big projects rather than like learn more about myself, let's say. I feel that also, like, you know, I learned not to plan as much because we really don't know if we have, I don't know, a lot of people plan for retirement, but we don't know if we're going to live until retirement. So it's nice to plan. I mean, I'm a good planner, but I'm not so attached to what's going to happen in 10 or 20 or 30 years. I think it's kind of an illusion, really, to put all your focus on the future.
What about relationships? How do they play into this? Because it's great to know yourself, to understand yourself, and to devote all this time to yourself. But when other people are involved, once you have like a wife or a husband or kids, all of that kind of goes to the back burner to a certain extent.
Well, personally, I feel like, you know, good relationships are relationships where two happy people. So if you're a person like me, for example, who love growth, I'm a really kind of growth agent, let's say, or love setting goals, love like kind of, let's say, adventures and big dreams and those kind of things. I think like it will actually benefit you to be alive and happy and doing what you feel that you're born to do. The relationship will benefit from it. That's how I see it. I thought in the past, oh, yeah, if I'm going to, you know, just do what everyone else is doing in terms of relationship or the, let's say, common advice, my relationship will win or will improve. But that wasn't the case. So my beliefs have changed along the way. I feel also I'm more ready now to kind of, let's say, really good relationships. In the past, I didn't really know who I was. Like, so a lot of time, people, let's say, fell in love with an image of who they thought I am. And I also, like, presented kind of a version of myself. And so I feel like, you know, this whole journey or kind of setting those goals really can teach you about yourself. That's probably the biggest benefit from all of this. And obviously the enjoyment and whatever the outcomes come of it. But it's more of like, let's say, the inner stuff rather than the outer stuff.
Are you in a relationship now?
I'm dating. I can share a story. I was married actually throughout those 10 years. I fell in love and there was a big, big story. Yeah. Yeah. So again, it was painful at times, but I feel like, again, like personal development, a lot of people talk about personal development. I feel the divorce was the biggest personal development course that I could ever do. So there are benefits, like, you know, in, let's say, in crises that you have. There's always lessons, there's always gifts behind everything that, like, you know, comes our way. That's how I see it.
Divorce and breaking up is a U-turn we talk about a lot on this podcast. Yeah. You want to just tell us a little bit about why that expanded you so much?
Yes, because, you know, I had to exercise a lot of courage to divorce. I mean, I wasn't really a quitter. I didn't want to admit that I failed. Right. So I had to redefine failure and that took a lot of courage. Also, when I got a divorce, I wasn't sure where I'm heading. For the first time in my life, I didn't have a roadmap. Mm. So also, like, when I got a divorce, I decided that I'm going to give up on my list. I said, like, all right, this didn't really help me. And, you know, I was in really, like, say, in a black hole.
Yeah.
But from that darkness, you know, came the light. Because I really had to confront and beliefs that I have. I had to confront certain things. I had to exercise courage. So there's a lot of benefits that come out of that.
Hmm. Did your list change because of that? Did you have new things on your list that you wanted to accomplish post-divorce than you had before the divorce?
Not really, actually. The list actually was what saved me. Because I remember, like, you know, when I got a divorce, I asked myself, all right, what's next? Where do I go from here? And one thing I knew is that I want to be less in my head and more in my body. Because just before the divorce, my mind was very active. I was thinking, all right, about the future and what should I do and a lot of that. And I just wanted to bring myself back more into the body. And when I looked at my list, I remembered, like, you know, my life goals list, there was learn dancing salsa. And so dancing salsa was perfect because it's you're in your body. It's also a very social thing. It's a fun thing. And really, it saved me. I found myself again, let's say, or I got back to myself.
It's also very sexy. It is very sexy, I was going to say. That's a good way to get out of a divorce. Go salsa.
Yes, yes. 30 days in salsa. I also went to Colombia. So it's kind of the land of salsa. I thought I'll stay there for a month, but I stayed for 3 months. And so then I also got into yoga. So a lot of things happened because of that move. I just need to say thank you to my list.
Okay, well, we're going to get back to that and figure out if we should both have a list, Lisa, after the break. Thank you.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public, the list of fears is endless.
But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, everyone. This is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
We're back with season two of the podcast, which means more opportunities to glow up and become a more responsible and better adult, one life lesson at a time.
And let me just tell you, this show is just as much for us as it is for you. So let's figure this stuff out together. This season, we're going to talk about whether or not we're financially and emotionally ready for dog ownership.
We're going to figure out the benefits of a high-yield savings account.
And what exactly are the duties of being a member of the wedding party?
All that plus so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff How to Adult on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
Hi, this is Hugh here from the Imperfects podcast, where we chat to well-known people whose lives seem perfect from the outside, but through our discussions, they share the vulnerabilities and imperfections that make them who they are. We chat to people like James Clear and Adam Grant.
You could have hidden potential to be a better partner, to be a better friend, improve as a parent. There's so much discussion of how do we build our careers? When are we asking the question of how do we build our character?
Search the Imperfects podcast on the app you are currently listening on.
Before the break, we were talking about salsa and how it could get us back on track. Jill and I both need to sign up for salsa classes, don't you think?
We do.
But I've also been discussing pole dancing.
Oh, gosh.
About which I am an enormous skeptic. But do you ever do pole dancing at all?
Not yet. Not,
put it on your necklace. Okay, yeah. So that begs the question. Now that you're 40 and you're not doing a whole other list, but what about those of us that have missed 30 long ago and never got around
that train
to that
has
list?
Left the station.
Yeah, the 30 train gone.
Yeah.
But is it ever too late to write a list? If like Jill and I here in our decrepit states wanted to make this kind of list that you had, would you recommend it to people?
I'm not
people?
Sure I would recommend.
Well, just you know, take your you walker, know Lisa, right? Put it off here to the side, and let's make a list.
You know, the list is not a thing, really. The list is a cool story. It's a good, let's say, maybe a structure or kind of a roadmap or something like that. But the real thing here is growth and change. So if you feel that you really need big change in your life or you really can grow more. You feel that like your potential is way bigger than the way you live. So sometimes you need to do a big shift. And in order to do a big shift, sometimes creating a list can be like, you know, the beginning of that journey. So I feel it's really like almost like, let's say, a kickstart thing. And it also kind of keep like almost like a structure for that journey of growth. Because otherwise it could be too open. You know, so at least make it a little bit more organized, let's say.
So maybe a smaller list if you're older.
maybe a smaller list or whatever. Yeah.
10 things in 1 year kind of thing.
Whatever works for you.
I mean, we're really talking about shifting into a mindset where you are pro-growth and pro-change. And, you know, where you don't say the thing that I find myself saying all the time, which is change is hard, change is hard. So how do you get there? Like, how do I shift that?
Well, change is hard. First of all, it's a belief, all right, that you hold. And so the first thing I would do is actually really look at that belief because it actually can create an obstacle for the whole journey. So if you change the belief to, let's say, change is easy and find actually like proof for that, all right, from your own life or from other people's life, then maybe the journey will be easier. Now, I just want to say something about my 100 life goal journey. That was my journey. That really what worked for me. I really like big dreams, big goals. And for big goals, let's say for like Ironman triathlon or financial freedom or anything big that I wanted, you need to make a lot of change. So in order to make a lot of change, it requires a little bit more let's say, structure or courage, or there's more qualities to that. And that's why I feel like, you know, my journey was really for me because I like big dreams. For other people, they don't necessarily need to do Ironman triathlon or financial freedom and all those these kind of stuff, or write a book, let's say. So a little change may be like, you know, what they need. And so you don't need to go to that extent.
I think for a lot of us, the change, the reason we don't change is fear. And dealing with fear is a big deal. How did you get past your fear? Or did you have any fear of change, or failure, or all those things that, that prevent a lot of us from pursuing our life dreams?
I really want to say that I'm a really regular person, all right?
So I have fear.
You know, even though I've done this crazy journey, I'm like any other person, you know? And actually, if you read my book, goal number 100 was really one of the hardest goals for me. Like, I composed electronic song, and I thought, you know, it'd be really easy. I know, you know, I have really good structure. I know how to set goals and all of that, but I really struggled. So I feel that the fact that, like, you know, I've done that journey doesn't mean that I don't have fears or I'm not going to struggle with my future goals. So one thing about fear is that I don't really believe in fearlessness. I believe in courage. So courage actually means that there is fear. Actually, I would say if there is not a little bit of, let's say, fear or a little bit of excitement, maybe your goal is not big enough. So I feel a lot of time we go for what's comfortable. And I really like to go where, like, there's a little bit of fear. There's a little bit of, like, I'm not sure I'm going to do that, because that's where I'm going to get a lot of growth. I can extract more wisdom out of big journeys. When I did the Ironman triathlon, I extracted so much wisdom about my body, about sleep, about habits again. And so there were so many benefits that came out of that. And the same thing we can take into relationship. Let's say you compromise on a relationship. You may, you know, feel good about it in the beginning, but then, like, later on, there will be, you know, maybe you'll feel like, you know, oh, you know, I'm compromising here. I'm not, there will be like maybe a bit of doubt. That's what actually happened to me. So now, even in relationship right now, I really go where I feel my edge, like where I feel this is the relationship I want. This is where, I mean, we have one life, the way I look at it. So why not going for your big dreams? Why not?
So are you saying that if we're feeling some fear, maybe the dream just has to be bigger to draw us more powerfully?
No, not necessarily. I mean, a dream is a dream. Maybe you don't have any fear, and that's great. But a lot of time we want to ask ourselves, Is this really what I want? Is this really what I feel that I'm capable of? You know, and that is the big question, I feel. Like, even financial freedom, you know, it's a big goal. But I wanted to live freely. I wanted to live knowing that I can do whatever I want at any single time, that I can go anywhere. There's a different quality to that than, let's say, another goal in the financial realm. So that's kind of the question that I feel like every person needs to ask themselves. Is this really what I want?
What was your hardest achievement?
I would say Vipassana, like Vipassana meditation. It's a 10-day meditation that I did in India. Actually, I failed there. I quit after day number 4, and I did it again in Israel, and I succeeded. But it was really, really hard, like just like basically doing nothing for 10 days.
And after 4 days, you couldn't do it anymore?
Yeah, it's actually really hard. You meditate from 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning till 9, 10 p.m. You sit for long hours, like 10 hours, I would say, a day. And you only eat twice a day. I mean, you can't look in people's eyes. There's a lot of kind of restrictions. So it was really hard for me.
Did you make yourself go back at that goal just because you rigidly wanted to check that box?
Or no.
Or do you were interested in it, even though obviously it was awful?
So when I kind of, let's say, failed in Vipassana, for me it was still success because I went after my dream. So for me, failure is not necessarily succeeding, it's not necessarily linked to outcome. It's either I go for my dream or I don't go for my dream. That's basically my definition of success. Because otherwise, if you're afraid of a certain outcome, you may not go for your big dreams.
So it's really what was on that list was to attempt all these things, to try as hard as you could for these things, not necessarily to achieve them all.
Yes, exactly. So the outcome is nice, but at the end of the day, the process is everything. Like, think about it. Like, even again, like I take the Ironman triathlon again. You train a lot. If it was just one day of pleasure, then what do I do here? But if I enjoy the training for 6 months and I learn a lot out of it and I meet, like, you know, new people and all of that, then I'm a winner. Then this 100 life goal journey is really worthwhile.
I have to say, one of my favorite moments in your book was when you were talking about training for the triathlon, and you talked about how you really weren't a great biker. You were a really good runner, right? But biking was your challenge. And you fell right off your bike when you tried to use toe clips, which I have to say, that is exactly what happened to me the first time I used toe clips on a bike. Can I just say, I really appreciate your admitting that you had some embarrassing moments along the way to completing a lot of these things.
Even the salsa, like I remember, like, so I did like 30 days of salsa. I trained with someone. And then I went to the nightclubs in Colombia, and I had to kind of invite like a local to dance with me. And the amount of fear I had, I mean, because, you know, you have to lead a woman and she's really looking forward for this dance. Why does she need to suffer or like maybe fall or whatever? And so it's those little things that like you really want to overcome. I mean, I'm not the best dancer. I'm a little bit stiff, let's say. I can dance now, I would say. But like back then, yeah, it was pretty bad. But again, the confidence comes from doing something again and again. Like, so if you practice, and when I say practice, we don't have to practice just, let's say, salsa or triathlon. It's also like practice happiness. You know, if I practice like being happy more or practice gratitude, the more you practice in general, the better you get. That's the way I look at it. So that's where like a list, a bucket list can really help because you practice.
What's the biggest way you've changed? Because it sounds like you, when you made this bucket list, you were kind of the same guy. You were courageous and adventurous and imaginative. So it sounds like you had a lot of these qualities just to embark on this adventure. But if you look back now, Tal at 40, how is he different from Tal at 30 because of this 100 achievements?
Well, a lot, actually, because if you ask me at age 30, who am I? I would say, like, I am whoever I want to be because I proved myself to be anything that I wanted, really, in that sense. But now, if you ask me, I know my essence. I know my qualities. And so I learned a lot about myself. The other thing that really changed is I really believe in the universe. And when I say believe in the universe, I mean, like, for me, it's a guiding universe. So I nowadays, I really listen. Before that, I was like, yeah, I mean, if I decide something, that's where I head, and the world can, like, you know, will align to me. But nowadays, I listen not only what my heart tells me, but also what the universe wants for me. And also I learned that purpose really is not just doing, it's also being plus doing. So I focus first of being and, let's say, be happy and, like, you know, feeling good and just aligning to feeling good. And then again, everything is secondary to that. I know that when I feel good, then I can get into flow. And when I'm in flow, I can really enjoy the process of whatever I do. So that was a big shift from doing to being, and then incorporate both of them.
Is there anything you would have done differently if 40-year-old Tal could talk to 30-year-old Tal before setting off on this adventure? Would you have said, hey, by the way, don't do that?
Well, I've been asked this question a lot. You know, every step or failure led me to another thing. So I really wouldn't change anything. I feel that I can maybe give advices, you know, to other people, but I wouldn't necessarily, the way I look at it right now is this. If I give advice to someone, it means that maybe it's an advice that I give to myself. That's how I look at it. If someone gives me if you give me an advice right now, I would recommend to the other person to listen to that advice because maybe the person giving it to himself. So it's more, it has changed right now. I'm more kind of like, it's kind of inner listening rather than, you know what I mean? Even if I, you know, everything I share right now, another person can say, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I believe Tal, but maybe I'm going to try. And that's the only thing I feel like, you know, a person can do is go and experiment with something, go and try something for himself and see if it works for him, because everyone has a different journey, really. That's the way I see that.
Experiment on yourself. All right, after the break, we'll talk more about that.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Here's a clip from an upcoming episode featuring the weekly home checks, Keyshawn Lane, that you won't want to miss.
A common mistake that a lot of people do, they use fabric softener when it's not so great for your clothes.
Should we never be using fabric softener?
No, you should not ever be using fabric softener.
Oh.
It leaves a deposit on our clothes, which is also left in the machine. And it also makes the clothes highly flammable.
Wait, what?
Yes. What you want to do instead is just use a quarter cup of vinegar.
And that'll make them softer?
That'll make them softer. And if you wanted some kind of scent, you can use essential oils.
Wow, wow, wow. Catch new episodes of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult every other Tuesday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Grown Up Stuff.
We're talking about being human guinea pigs, experimenting on ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? In times of change, why not? You have probably a little less to lose. That's how it seems to me.
Tal, you talked about that period of kind of compass dial spinning, not sure which direction to head in, and you kind of dunked yourself in nature in Cyprus, right? You took a kind of a hiking trip there. Have I got that right?
Yes.
And tell us how that was clarifying for you.
So at that point, I was really unhappy, actually. So a lot of time I feel we have all the signs that we need to change, but we kind of delay the change because change can be uncomfortable. So basically, I delayed until one point I was like really unhappy and pretty, again, on the outside, everything looked great. I was pretty successful in my job. I had a career. I had a beautiful girlfriend. I had a nice apartment. I had a new car. Everything kind of looked good from the outside. But inside, I felt that I kind of sold my soul. And my soul really wanted something else. It wanted an adventure. I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted, but I knew that I need to make a change. So my intuition told me to go to Cyprus. Sometimes if we really feel that we need to make a big change, we don't necessarily need to go right away for the big change. We can just go to nature or do a little trip. Just creating space, basically, like going to a place where it's maybe a little bit different or quiet, so we can actually listen. I feel that this is a very important skill, to be able to listen to this inner voice that constantly tells us like where to go, where to head, but because we're so busy in our mind, we don't hear it.
I would think if I were making a list from your list, I would think that being in nature so you can kind of hear your inner voice would be one. But if there were five things that you could extract from your list of 100 that were specific to you, but five things that you would recommend to everybody, just broad categories, that if they wanted to get in touch with themselves, know themselves better, have the best optimal personal growth, what five things would you recommend to people?
Well, I can give a little bit of strategies, really. I mean, first of all, I would first ask the question, what do I really want? You know, a lot of time we don't ask that question. We're really just like on kind of autopilot, live our life because, again, it's comfortable. That's what we know. If you have this kind of, again, a little voice that tells you that something else is waiting for you, then yeah, maybe kind of make a list or ask yourself, what do I want? Then, like a lot of time, when we find that we want something that is really different from where we are, then we need to kind of investigate our beliefs about it. And I feel this is a step that not a lot of books actually talk about. A lot of books go into the habits and strategies and pushing through and doing and doing. And there's a lot of like inner work. And I feel, you know, again, like let's say around money, like there's a lot of beliefs that kind of hold us back. So I would write all the limiting beliefs I have. Then I would write like, you know, what would be some empowering beliefs? The other thing that I'll think about is like, what makes me alive? So like, for example, let's say I really want to lose weight or be very fit, right? Let's say that's one of the goals. So we don't necessarily need to go to the gym if we hate it. There's so many other things that we can do. Like, for example, like, I mean, we can go surfing or yoga or CrossFit or swimming or walking, bike. There's so many things we can do. There's also little tactics we can take. We can like park our car like pretty far away. And, you know, so it's really important to kind of align with what really makes you alive or what's aliveness for you and not really just go for the what, you know, society tells us to pursue. So that's maybe another strategy. There's also, I would recommend to think about like those triggers to shift reactions. So those signposts where you know that like that's what's going to distract you. So basically kind of look at your behavior, almost kind of see like where you are, like, you know, with the change. And I can give example. For example, if I notice that I eat more when I'm tired or I need, let's say, sugary stuff when I'm tired, so maybe I need to focus on tiredness or sleep better, you know? So those kind of things. I mean, there's a lot of things you can actually look into that. I feel there's a lot of strategies, but if I had to kind of prioritize the most important one would be beliefs.
So questioning the limiting beliefs, you called them, right? That you have about something and trying to replace them with beliefs that move you forward.
Yeah, like even like what you said, change is hard. That's a belief.
That's
that
a belief. Yes, it is. I'm questioning it more and more as we do this podcast.
One thing that I do is, first of all, it's really hard to kind of see all your limiting beliefs because a lot of things are running in the background, very like unconscious kind of beliefs that we adopted as a child or we're not aware of that. Or we actually don't want to be aware of them, because it means that we're going to change, yeah? So one thing that I do is I reverse engineering. So I look at like every time I have this, let's say, a strong emotion or negative emotion, I know that there's a belief behind it. So I'll just give an example. Let's say I wake up this morning, I look at the sky and I'm pretty unhappy because it's gray. So I have a belief. I can reverse engineering. The belief is if sky is blue, then it's good. If skies are gray, then it's not good. So then I have a real chance to change my belief. So that way you kind of like change belief along the way and not try to just figure them out with your logical mind, because the logical mind is limited. So basically really looking, like really kind of analyze your emotion, or not necessarily analyze, but look at them and kind of reverse engineering.
You have had these 100 small goals that you achieved over 10, some big goals that you achieved over 10 years. Now, let's knock on wood, say you're 40 now, you live another 60 years, make it to 100. Is there one life goal? What's the driving purpose behind there? Because it can't just be a series of checklists for the rest of your life, you know? What's the big goal for Tal's life?
Wow. First of all, I mean, I'm really focused on the present moment. So for me, the truth is in the present moment, which means that even if I set something for life right now, I'm flexible with it in terms of changing it, right? Yeah. But like the way I look at it, the direction right now is service. So if I look at my life, let's say from 30 to 40, there was a lot of focus on personal success. So even this list and this book, it's a lot of stuff that I've done alone, really. You know, so which is actually okay and or great, I would even say, But where I'm heading is more of actually sharing myself or be of service to society or as a whole. And I feel like, you know, it's a good thing that it happened that way or in that order, let's say, because nowadays I feel that I can be more of service, let's say, if I started, like, you know, earlier. I know more of who I am. I have more skills, more resources, more networking. And I feel I can really jump into kind of, let's say, next level in terms of my evolution.
I'm sure that's true. Absolutely. So, you know, before you came on, we were having a funny conversation. We were talking because we just assumed, although you put it differently, that you are a naturally fearless person, that that's just... And what I think you've told us is that, in fact, you have strategies to deal with fear and you use fear to your advantage and that maybe fearlessness is just a myth. But we were talking about whether or not we consider ourselves fearless and trying to answer that question for one another without revealing it. It was kind of an interesting exercise. And I was saying that I feel like Lisa absolutely seems like a fearless person. I mean, when I just hear about some of the adventure travel that you've done, it makes my hair stand on end. I recall galloping through a very narrow canyon on a horse somewhere and crazy skiing and stuff like that. And there's, I mean, there are a lot of stuff. There's just so many things professionally that you've tried and done. But that you probably would say that you have more fear than it would look, than it would appear on the outside.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But you're battling it more than
anyone
would know.
It's not external fear. I don't know if you... it's more self-doubt than fear. And it's not fear. The fear is a different thing. It's self-doubt. I don't know if it's different because you're young and athletic and a guy. How much were you questioning yourself when...
A lot,
yeah.
I still question myself, but... You know, here's my little system is this. Like, every year I kind of change the area of focus and I set like a big goal for the year. So let's say last year was, you know, publishing the book. I try to kind of focus on one big goal, and I know there's going to be a lot of fears around that. Like, for example, publishing a book, I don't know if you publish a book, but you kind of put yourself out there for people to criticize you or give you one star or whatever, you know? And I feel that in that sense, like, you know, it's worthwhile for me to kind of really immerse myself and say, this goal, I'm going all the way. So even if there's going to be distractions or I'm going to doubt myself or there's going to be like second guessing, I'm still going to focus on that. And I still allow myself, like with all the other stuff in my life, to be really flexible and let doubt, because doubt can also be something that comes from the kind of an inner voice, you know? So we really want to listen to doubt. It's not no emotion is negative or positive, really. I mean, it's all kind of little messages that we can listen and then like try to understand what's behind that.
Yeah.
Exactly what I share about the emotions in terms of understanding the beliefs. And also, we don't have to change beliefs. You know, we don't have to change them, but it's good to have the option or knowing that it's in our control, really, to look at them.
So, Joe, what I'm hearing from you, Tal, and what I'm sensing is that it's more, the fear comes from being outcomes driven. What you've seemed to say over and over, Tal, is that the attachment isn't to the outcome of success or failure. It's the engagement in
the process.
And when you love the process, the fear disappears because you're in flow and that's what drives you, not whether or not it's a success.
Yeah.
And then you let go of that fear of failure.
That's where the tightness comes from.
Yeah, I think so. Am I misinterpreting that?
Exactly. I mean, because otherwise you won't set big goals. Because if you're afraid of not achieving the outcome, then, you know, let's say again, like the best, I had like this goal of like Amazon bestseller. If I'm afraid to not achieve that, and what other people are going to think about me if I'm not achieving that, I won't set that. So I feel it's really like about kind of removing that attachment.
You know, there's one other thing I want to point out, because in your book, you talk about engaging lots of teachers. It's not like you threw on your Superman cape and, you know, attacked every one of these goals by yourself. And I think that's such an important thing to point out, that if you're afraid or not, you're going to need help and maybe that's the first fear to get over is asking for it, right?
Oh, yeah. Asking for help can be really hard. I mean, again, with the book, for example, I asked for a lot of help, but I wasn't that afraid anymore in terms of getting rejected. Because, again, the year of socializing, when I socialized and partied, I got rejected a lot. my English back then wasn't that good, and I was sometimes mumbling, and I was, you know, I just migrated to Australia. I didn't really have a social circle, so I got rejected a lot. But it's not a big deal, you know, to get rejected. But for me, what's really a big deal, it's not going for my dreams. I know if I don't go for my dreams, I may even die, really. I was bitten by a snake, actually, half a year ago. That's a whole different story, yeah?
Okay, wait. Tell us that story. What happened?
Yeah. I almost died, actually. I was... it was in nature, and I was kind of far away from the road. And when I got to the road, I started to kind of choke. I couldn't breathe. I started to choke, and then at some point, I felt darkness coming, and I was sure I'm going to die. Mm. I couldn't breathe, and it was really, really painful. So I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you can't breathe, but it's the most painful thing I've ever felt, like not being able to breathe. Or fighting for air. And so one thought that I had in my mind was maybe it's time to let go, because, you know, I've done these 100 life goals and I've inspired people and I felt pretty full life. And so kind of it almost makes sense, you know, all right, maybe that's what I said for myself, you know, like I said, what if I have 10 years to live? And the other thought that came to me, which was a little bit more subtle, was kind of, it came from nowhere. It says, you can't die because you only gave 10%. And I just want you to imagine this situation. I'm kind of can't breathe, choking in the hospital, about to die, really, you know, with a bunch of doctors and nurses around me. And there's like kind of a conversation like between two different thoughts. One thought is like, just let go. And the other one is like, you can't die because you only gave 10%. And I remember saying to the voice, like, what do you mean 10%? I gave way more than 10%.
Yeah, I would have said that to the voice, too.
Yeah, I gave 100%.
Yeah.
You know? But then, like, you know, I realized that the 10%, it wasn't like in terms of energy or going after my dreams. It was more in the era of giving. Hmm. So, I was really focused on my own success. So a lot of my personal success, I took a lot. But in terms of giving, even like sharing my story, all right, or sharing myself or being present or being who I am, let's say, I wasn't like necessarily 100%. And so now I know that like my whole journey is to give more and be of service. Like even whatever business project that I have, I'm less concerned about the money that's going to come out of it. For me, it's secondary. I'm more focused. Is it really going to help other people? Is this really... am I really of service right now? That's my highest goal, really. And it kind of guides me. And I know that voice came from it meant that. So now my whole focus has to shift. If I kind of made like another list of personal goals or personal successes, whatever, it wouldn't be the right journey.
So that's goal 101 right there and full stop.
More of a direction, let's say. Yeah. I mean, goal really is a direction. And then again, the process is what's important. I feel nowadays, really, that's maybe again a little bit more spiritual. But if I'm not going for my dreams, I may get sick. I may get, you know, my there's a lot of in line, you know, the, online, that, sorry, that, again, like, this is just kind of my own story. So I don't want to kind of throw beliefs to other people. But I feel that I really, really want to listen and go after what I want. And sometimes there may be consequences if I don't. So it's not just for fun. It's also like, you know, there may be some consequences.
You feel like this is critical to your survival as a human being?
Yeah. I'll give you an example. In my marriage, I got really sick. Like I got tinnitus. It's ear ringing. Mm. Just because I knew that, like, you know, that wasn't the right direction. We had different kind of ideas where to live and so forth. But I kind of really compromised. And I gave up on my list. I gave up on my dreams. And because of it, I got sick. And at some point when I got sick, I wasn't good, not for my partner, not for me, not for anyone. So nowadays I know that the first first thing that I want to take care of is like feeling good and being in alignment and feeling flow in my body, really being in my body. Even right now when I speak with you, I notice my body. I don't want to just like bombard you with my thoughts or head. I want to speak from inside, not just like for my head. So that's basically the way I look at that, like really connect to yourself and then go after what you want.
I've heard people say the body doesn't lie. Very true. Tal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Tal, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Everybody, if you want to follow and connect with Tal Gore, you can find him on Twitter at Tal_Gore and Instagram, talgore.me. His blog is fullylived.com. And again, he is the author of The Art of Fully Living.
If you guys want to share your stories, share your lists, share your adventures, share your dreams, reach out to us at U-Turns Podcast. See you next time.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey, everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff, How to Adult on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Grown Up Stuff.
Grown Up Stuff.